Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's show, event-based feedback. Here we go. I must admit, like many of our listeners, I sometimes find giving feedback to folks just it's just an ongoing battle with me, as with a lot of folks, right? And in this case, sorry, Maggie, I don't know why Maggie's listening to the podcast. I'm going to use her as an example here. But it's one of those things, like, we love Maggie. Maggie is awesome. She's awesome. Yeah. She's awesome as an employee. She's awesome as a person, as a mother, as a wife. She's awesome in many, many ways. But sometimes she makes mistakes like you do and like I do, like everybody else does, right? And because she's so awesome, sometimes I find myself like hesitating a little bit, right? I don't want to hurt her feelings, right?
Right.
And often Maggie doesn't make big mistakes. They're small things, right?
Right. But
we still, as managers, we have to work through that. We have to fight through that, right?
We totally have all kinds of reasons. Everybody comes up with all kinds of reasons not to talk to their directs about performance. And one of the ones that people often say is, you know, what if somebody does a bunch of stuff all at once? You know, I can't give it to them right away, maybe, or there's just too much. I don't want to burden them. You know, the whole, should I do good first or bad first, right? Is there a right or way? And, you know, a lot of times when I go back to our old, you know, our cynical expression, which is, land of the blind, the one-eyed person is king or queen. It really wouldn't matter if good came first or bad came first, just so long as you gave lots of feedback to people in a professional and polite way, right?
Right. I guess we've helped people a little bit in getting confused relative to giving a lot of feedback at once, because we've told people, don't do it, right? When you start giving feedback, don't give them feedback on 20 things. And then we really haven't covered what we're going to cover today is, how do you give feedback? And when is it appropriate to give a lot of feedback? Right. Cause that's because people, they conflate things, right? They take our advice of, well, we'll put it this way. We've given advice to not give too much feedback at one time, because if we were to suggest otherwise, people store it up forever, right? Well, they have this laundry list of 100 things and they just dump it on somebody. But we're going to talk about today kind of, I think, clarifies a little bit about when it's appropriate, when it's not.
Right. Event-based feedback. And we have five recommendations, 5 points we want to make, the last two of which are the actual steps. But I'm going to cover them in a little bit more detail, because there are plenty of people who go, I don't want to listen to all the rationale. Just tell me what to do. And that's fine. So points 1 through 5. First, number one, you can give lots of feedback together, folks. You totally can. If it's about a single set of behaviors. But if you're just bunching a bunch of stuff together, that's a bad idea. People get confused by that, which we'll talk about why. We still recommend you follow the 1 week rule. You don't wait longer than about a week to give feedback to somebody. And that affects things like project-based feedback and so on. The real key point here today in terms of the rationale is, if you stay specific, if you stay focused on behavior, directs are very comfortable getting lots of feedback. The reason directs often are uncomfortable getting lots of feedback, the reason we don't recommend bunching it together, is it's not specific, it's not actionable, it's not helpful. And so it just feels like a really, really long report card that nobody knows how to do anything about. So event-based feedback is a way to give feedback about a specific event, a presentation, a meeting, a report, something like that, something that happened fairly close together. And the way you give event-based feedback is steps 4 and 5 in this cast. And after these 2 points, if you want to tune out, folks, if you don't want to know more of the details and the subtleties, that's fine. Point 4 is, when you give event-based feedback, you ask first, but you only ask one time before you plan on giving 5 or 10 or 15 bits of behaviorally based specific feedback.
Right. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the Manager Tools feedback model, the first step in the feedback model is to ask if you can give the person feedback. So you're just asking once.
Right. You ask, hey, can I give some feedback? And just real quickly, for those of you who don't know, the reason you ask is because feedback is about the future behavior of one of your directs. Feedback is not about past behavior. We're not trying to praise something they did. We're not trying to punish something they did. We're not trying to point something out they did and then tell them it was good or bad. The purpose of talking to our directs about past performance is only to imply that the real discussion, the real importance of discussion, is the future behavior they engage in, because there's nothing we can do about the past. This is what really effective managers know. The reason they're willing to talk to their directs much more frequently than average and below average managers is that they know the reason to do it is to change behavior in the future if somebody made a mistake, or to get the same behavior in the future. It's all about future behavior. So you ask first, hey, can I give some feedback? And if Mike asked me, can you give me some feedback, and I'm not ready to hear it, it's okay for me to say no, because I'm going to be the one that's going to be engaging in the behavior in the future. If I'm not ready, or if I'm in a bad mood, or if I'm late to a meeting, or I have to go pick up my kids, then I'm not going to hear it. And him saying it isn't effective if I don't hear it, because communication is what the listener does. So when you do event-based feedback, again, you say, hey, can I give you some feedback? But you only say it one time. For instance, you'd say, can I give you some feedback about the meeting we just had? Can I give you some feedback about this report? Can I give you some feedback about this presentation? Now the direct knows they're going to get more than one bit of one item of their behavior, one of the specific things that you notice. They're going to get a series of that altogether, but you only have to ask once. If you give 20 bits of feedback and every time you say, can I, before each one, it becomes very annoying. And a lot of managers simply won't do it. And that reduces the amount of feedback managers give, which is a bad thing. All high-level systems, human and non-human, rely on extensive feedback mechanisms. About the only really, really important system in the world, human behavior in a managerial, vertically structured organization, the most important system of all, human behavior, doesn't get a lot of feedback. And we wonder why we're inefficient and ineffective a lot. It's because of lack of feedback. And then point five is you basically use steps 2, 3, and 4 of our feedback model together. It's as if you can assume you've asked that first question before each time. And so it would sound like this. If I were giving Mike feedback about a meeting he just, an offsite we just attended that he was integral to, I would say, hey, Mike, can you give some feedback about the offsite?
Sure.
I would say yes. And I'd say, when you shared that idea about how we could reduce costs with logistical changes, I really appreciate it. That was great. And when you asked for 5 more minutes at the end of the meeting to discuss a new idea you had, I thought that was creative. I thought it was a little different and I liked it. So good. Keep it up. When you tried to get everybody to agree with you, and when they didn't, you said, well, I don't know why we're even talking about this. That came across as unprofessional. Can you change that for me? When you, after lunch, asked the agenda to be changed in order to incorporate some of the things that happened in the morning, I thought that was creative. I think people agreed to it. And obviously we changed the agenda. So that was good. And there you have it. I asked him once, and then I gave him 3 bits of feedback about 3 specific behaviors he engaged in during our offsite without having to ask each time. And by the way, when he knows about event-based feedback, he knows that when I say, can I give some feedback about the offsite, he knows he's about to get multiple bits of behavior discussed, and it helps him be ready to say yes or no. If he's not ready, if he's getting ready to go to a meeting and it's going to be a 5-minute discussion about all the things I noticed during the offsite, then you can say, look, yeah, I'd love to, but I can't right now. Maybe we could do it during the one-on-one or whatever. And that way he knows and I know that when we talk about it next, there's going to be a bunch of feedback altogether. We're not putting the feedback together to make it easier for me, the manager. We're putting it together because it's easy contextually for Mike to hear it if it's all about the same thing, the same set of behaviors, a related set of behaviors in a certain contiguous time period. So that's the longest outline we've ever done, I guess.
Yeah. Probably. And all you Reader's Digest listeners can now go away.
Now go home. Go away. Find another podcast.
Yeah. Now. For those of you who choose to stick around, we'll cover this in a little bit more detail. So let's talk about your first point. You can give lots of feedback together if it's about a single set of behaviors. You mentioned that just now, but let's talk a little bit more about why that's important.
You said it earlier too, right? We generally don't recommend that managers give a lot of feedback all at once. We don't do that because we discovered when we did, and we let managers try that because we didn't recommend against it, essentially. Many managers basically saved up their feedback and it made it convenient. And what they would say is it made it convenient for me and for them, because then they knew they only got feedback at one time each week. We got the sense that really the important part of the rationale was not that it was convenient for the direct, but it was convenient for the manager. And managers might have said something like, if I'm going to have to give feedback, I want to put it off as long as possible. I want to do it all at once so I can get it over with. And I'm going to mix bad and good so they don't hate me too much. And I can stay pretty general about it. The problem is when managers think they can deliver feedback in batches, they wait too long to give a lot of it. And what we've discovered actually is if a manager waits a week and the direct is a good person and wants to do well and generally does most things well, and the manager is going to give negative feedback. After a week, if they haven't given negative feedback, they can talk themselves out of it a lot of times unless it's really, really big. And then what happens is when it's really, really big, they put it off again. And then when it finally gets to the direct, it feels painful because it's been a month, but the manager is talking about it and he's known about it. The direct has known about it for a month and nothing's been said. So, gosh, if he had to wait a month to talk to me about it and it seemed like it's important to him, that feels dangerous to the direct.
Well, yeah, the manager's waited a month. And what probably triggers the actual feedback itself is that it happened again. And now the manager was annoyed before. Now he or she is angry and it's
now
just
we have
a very different conversation.
Yeah, now we have a problem. Look, and the longer you wait, the older stuff gets in your head. It's not crystal clear. The direct struggles to comprehend all of it. Lots of directs we've talked to said they spent a good bit of time trying to figure out when managers bunch stuff together, what's the overall theme here? Is he trying to imply that because it did three good and four bad, that it was really a bad presentation? And it ends up being more of a, is this a miniature report card rather than specific comments about actual behaviors, which of course is not the intent of feedback. Feedback is not a report card. It's supposed to be helpful in terms of guiding future behavior. A report card is about past performance. It's not supposed to be about guiding future behavior. The other thing that we heard a lot of was managers throwing out any sort of planning or delivery coherence, right? They said things like, and by the way, we would not call it feedback if you used it this way, although we know that some managers would. If they said, hey, I liked how you did that, or I wonder if you couldn't do this thing differently over here. And what ends up happening is the manager gives this kind of vague, overarching, let me give you my impressions of your performance. And what's funny about that is managers motivate themselves to do it because, that's kind of what senior people do when they're sitting around talking about succession planning and so on. Not true. Not true at all. The really good organizations of the world that have succession planning talk specifically about people, about their strengths and weaknesses. Not, I like this and I like that. Rather, here are what his numbers are. And here's an example of something I've noticed that causes me concern relative to his analytical ability. It's a very specific, a very direct sort of conversation in those companies where feedback is more current and or more frequent and more direct.
You know, Mark, the problem, though, is that we tried to avoid those bad outcomes. And as a result, we left a valuable tool off the table for folks, right? I mean, the idea that somebody could go to a meeting, watch somebody present at a meeting, and then only give one piece of feedback when there are probably 100 things happened during that presentation. It's been tough for managers. And we gave the advice we did for good reason, but it's time to correct that.
Yeah. It's not, well, I don't know that it's correcting it so much as it is adding nuance to the overall, you know, the body of work we have around feedback, giving people as much detail as we possibly can. If one of the first few casts we had about feedback said, you can bunch feedback together, I think what would have happened is managers would have heard that. And of course, you and I, it's not that we expect everybody to do everything we say, but we certainly want to avoid somebody doing something and using what we recommend in the wrong way.
Yeah, well, but Karen Adams right now is saying like, okay, after almost 6 years, you're finally going to give me that nuance. I've been doing this for a while, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, look, we only have 20 more years of podcasts to give out. So.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what I should have done? In hindsight, what I should have done for you and Karen under the circumstances is I should have said, Mike, you're going to have to wait a year for us to start doing podcasts because I want to line up the next 600 or 700 or 1,000 of them in exactly the right order. And can you imagine what would have happened?
I would have agreed with you.
Yeah,
that's
you
the problem.
Yeah, yeah, and we never would have started. And what's worse is that people would have had to sit through 50 casts on feedback and 40 casts on one-on-ones. And there are some managers out there who just, who can't believe that somebody would give feedback. for whatever reason. So, and we've had a lot more to talk about in feedback in the years ahead. So, and management is an ongoing journey, that's for sure. Look, it's fine to give lots of feedback together if the behaviors you're going to be talking about in this instance, in this event, all happened at this same event or within a short time frame of one another in a related way. Again, feedback is about the future. It's about helping directs engage in the right behavior, right behaviors in the future. If you wait too long to give some feedback, they might very well have had an opportunity to make the same mistake again, not knowing that they could have done it better. So look, we're still against waiting. And I think a lot of managers, when we say bunch it up, they see something on Monday and they say, well, let me wait until I have five or six of them. Then they get busy doing something else. Now it's been 2 weeks and they're waiting to get enough together so they can have a conversation about performance, which I think is a bad idea. So you can give feedback about a specific event as long as they happen relatively close together and the set of behaviors are connected, like a meeting or a presentation or an offsite or something like that. But we have a caveat here. I know what many of you are thinking right now. The project managers are going, oh, great. This is now, I'm free and clear. I don't have to give feedback during any of the projects I've been running. Not at all. All I have to do is wait until the end, and then I can give them a document because I wouldn't want to bury them in 50 bits of feedback.
During a project?
Yeah.
You think they call that an event? That's a pretty
long event. Well, I think when we say you can give event-based feedback as long as all the behaviors are connected or related in a way and the time was contiguous, they're going to say, well, I live my life in projects and that was a 2-month project and it's all related and the timing is kind of contiguous relative to a year. 2 months is sort of close together. So I'll wait until the end of the 2-month period. I mean, people will twist themselves in knots to avoid doing things that they don't want to do. It's cognitive dissonance, right? I know I'm supposed to, but I don't want to. And so therefore, I'm going to wait until I don't have to anymore. So can you wait till the end of a typical project, calling that project an event, and then give somebody the feedback they deserved during the event and during the project? And the answer is no, definitely not.
Well, you can, just don't call it the manager tool's feedback.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah, you could. Yeah, and hypothetically, I suppose it'd be better than nothing. But I'll tell you what, you wait 4 months to give somebody some feedback about something that happened, again, 4 months ago. They're going to be like, what? Really? And of course, part of our guidance about feedback has been feedback is about fairly small things. It's about making small corrections when you're driving down a straight road. It's the avoidance of waiting until somebody makes 6 mistakes and then they're almost in the ditch and you have to have a come to boss meeting with them, which is not helpful for anybody. So it would be a perversion of this recommendation to call projects that last 3-4 months events that then allow you to wait until the end. And frankly, I'd be willing to bet that 50% of the project managers who were sitting here thinking as they listened to us this time that they secretly had in their head the knowledge that they could wait till the end and then they would have it all together and then they wouldn't do it.
Nope. Sorry, folks. Can't do it.
Yeah.
We can't use this cast as an excuse to do it. That's for sure.
Yeah, and look, waiting to delay information till the end of the project means that they couldn't use any of the information you're giving them during the project, right? We've made sports analogies before, but I read somewhere recently that the NFL, the National Football League in America, the first 20 plays are totally scripted. And the reason why is to see how the defense reacts. And then they start making changes. And teams that perennially do well are ones that have better second halves than first because they make changes during the game. They don't wait till the end of the game that they lost and go, okay, we learned enough so that now next week we'll get better. No, they make changes on the fly because they're in the game with that team that they're making the mistakes in front of. You know, look, if you wait until the end of a longer project, 2, 3, 4, 5 months, it's really no longer feedback. It really boils down to what is something like a personal hot wash maybe for each team member. And, you know, my feeling has always been you put too much stuff together. And if you're a project manager, you got 2 or 3 people working for you on a 4-month project, they probably got 50 or 100 tasks or whatever. If you're going to give them 30 bits of feedback about 4 months worth of work, I'm making up those numbers. But if you're going to give them 30 bits of feedback, that's going to be a pretty emotionally significant or emotion fraught kind of meeting. So don't use this cast as an excuse to wait on feedback until the end and deliver all at once. It's not going to be effective. You might think of it as being efficient. And by the way, if you're a technical manager who manages a lot of projects and you like email, you are someone who chooses efficiency over effectiveness a lot. And that'll probably appeal to you, event-based feedback. And it's a perversion. Again, I like that word today, perversion of our recommendation here. It's efficient for you maybe, but it's not effective for the direct. And if it's not effective for the direct, you're undermining the very purpose of the discussion you're having. Look, an event is something that happens in a short period of time. For those of you who are conflict avoidance specialists, it's a short, contiguous bit of time. A meeting, for instance, is an event. A presentation is an event. A one-day assignment might be an event, even if you call it a project because there are five tasks in it, right? A one-week project could probably be called an event, but I think that's stretching it. A one-month project where you wait to give feedback until the end is not an event.
Okay. Now, we've recommended the one-week rule before, so we're restating it here because it's somehow different, or are we just reinforcing the rule?
Yeah, we just want to make our point about the nature of events, about how what we mean by event in terms of our event-based feedback guidance. And look, it also reminds us, it's a good point to good time to remind everybody about the half-life of the value of feedback. The longer you wait, the greater disparity there will be between what you say happened and what the direct remembers about what happened. And look, delay, if something happens Monday and the manager gives feedback Thursday, delay is always ascribed to the manager's choice about when to give it, because the direct can't get feedback if the manager won't do it. And therefore, the feedback becomes tainted by a mixing of its purpose, the future behavior of the direct, and the manager's self-interest in terms of when and how he or she gives it. Delay, if you do something Monday and you don't hear about it till Friday, also implies that there may not be any feedback at all. And if you wait too long, if you wait more than a week, a direct often feels ambushed by negative feedback that's 2 or 3 weeks late if it's going to take that long. So we do call for what we call our one-week rule. And as many of you know, if you're doing one-on-ones, you can also just remind yourself in terms of the weekly timeline, gee, was it Tuesday, was it Wednesday, and so on. You can just say, have I had a one-on-one with this direct since the event happened? If you have, even though they did something on Tuesday, you had the one-on-one on Wednesday, and now it's Thursday, I think it's easier for me anyway to think of when was my last one-on-one and when did this event happen, as opposed to did it happen in the last week? Admittedly, if I had a one-on-one on Wednesday, it's now Thursday, and they did something on Tuesday, that's only 2 days, but the one-on-one has a one-on-one past is just a rule of thumb to help you think about how long it's been since this person did the behavior. If it's been a one-on-one between, maybe you ought to wait and look for another opportunity.
Well, the one-on-one is a great checkpoint too, right? I mean, if you're in your one-on-one, one of the questions you ask yourself, is there something that I have to give Susie feedback on that I haven't already? Not to suggest that all feedback happens during one-on-ones. Let me throw right. that in there. But if you ask that question and you didn't come up with something, then it's probably not that important that you come back to it 2 days later after the one-on-one.
You could easily give feedback in 8 days. It's not a black and white rule by any stretch. And look, part of our guidance about the one-week rule is designed to counter the idea that the best feedback is immediate, right? People say that. All kinds of HR people and psychologists and sociologists say that. Yeah, it is. That's great. The best feedback is immediate. But feedback is so rare, let's not make the perfect the enemy of the good. The best feedback is immediate argument is a reductio ad absurdum argument, which basically says, managers use it to say, oh, I can't give it immediately, so therefore I don't need to give it at all because I wouldn't want to give not best feedback, which is a joke, right? You can wait, just don't wait longer than about a week. If the event happened 2 or 3 weeks ago, don't give the feedback. And don't say to yourself, I have an ongoing event that lasts 2 weeks. Okay. If you're going to lump together 2 weeks worth of stuff and something was one of the bits of feedback was 2 weeks ago, don't do that. This is not a reason to lump your feedback together to make it efficient. It's a way to help you talk about those 2 and 4 and 8 hour type events or behavior sets to make it easy for you to talk about them contiguously, contemporaneously, and contextually to make it easy for the direct to hear about and get in the moment of all the things they were doing relative to that event, whatever it might is.
Good. Now, you say that if you stay specific, right, and you stress the word specific, directs can receive lots of feedback about a particular event. But that's, historically, that's not really the way it breaks down, is it? I mean, I just can imagine manager in front of her team, and in my picture, there's not a lot of specificity going on.
When we say feedback, we mean something specific, but a lot of people who are listening think, well, feedback is just any sort of information regarding somebody's performance. Okay, the answer to that is no, not the way we use it. But yeah, managers often say, well, I can't give them too much. Well, yeah, you can. You're wrong. You can. It just has to be feedback as opposed to you talking about what you liked and didn't like about what they did. Look, there are two sort of historically classic ways for a manager to share her comments with the direct after an event of some sort. The first way is just kind of meander through the event, mentioning various good or bad points. And look, this is better than nothing. It's a classic land of the blind comment, right? I mean, it's not a great way to do it, but it's better than nothing at all. So few managers do even this of just meandering through an event. It's great to have a boss who does it even poorly. But look, it's still fraught with difficulty. Let's say this. I'll give you a short speech that the manager does. And I say, hey, Mike, I just want to share some things with you about that presentation. Great job on the opening. Overall, the timing was good. I wouldn't have hit it as hard on the cost issues, but hey, I understand why you did. You know, you have to kind of cool it on the analogies and good use of visuals. Right now?
Okay.
Okay, now that's what's, look, you know, you and I laugh at that because some manager will go, well, guys, some directs are probably going, man, I'd love my boss to tell me that.
That's probably the funny part or the sad part.
Yeah. Yeah, but now let's go back through it. You say, great job on the opening. Now, folks, just to be clear, this is not feedback. This is a really lame attempt at a boss providing some information about how the boss felt about what the direct did or intended to do, or I don't know. You could get pretty vague about this.
Well, I can tell you what went through my mind when you said that. I was like, well, what did I do?
Yeah.
What specifically did you like? Was it the right length, or did you just like my tone, or was it the analogy I used during that?
Yeah,
that
opening? We could go through each one of these. You just did the great job on the opening, right? What did I do? What did you like? When I said overall timing was good, you know, the director's probably thinking, was it too long at some part, but it was overall the right amount of timing? Are you talking about my delivery in terms of the timing of my words, or are you talking about the overall length of time of my presentation in minutes, or are you talking about the timing of it relative to the decision point the company is at strategically? When you talked about, I wouldn't have hit as hard on the cost issues, well, why are you saying that? Because you didn't think cost mattered, or because I gave too much detail, or you're just saying we have different styles, but mine was fine since they agreed with me regarding cost? When you say to me, you have to stop the analogies, I say to myself, okay, but I only use three of them in a 30-minute presentation. That doesn't seem like too much to me. But okay, none from now on, I guess, because even though you totally used one last week, I don't know, and you only talked for 10 minutes and you used one, so I figured 30 minutes, I could use three. Okay, whatever. I guess I can learn from that. And then you said good use of visuals. I'm going, huh? I just use slides, sort of a standard setup. How freaking is that? Is your standard is just use slides and therefore I get credit for using good visuals? I don't have any graphs or charts or anything. Look, it's good for a manager to say something, even though this example makes it seem frustrating because nobody else does it. But it's still not actionable. It's inefficient. And when managers use this as their thought process for the way they would think of event-based feedback, well, yeah, then they might say, well, my directs can't handle too much of it because when I do that, it bothers them. Well, they're not bothered because there's too much there. They're bothered because there's not enough specifics for them to be actionable and get better the next time, even though they still have to sit and listen and wonder if you're going to drop a bomb on them at any moment during this, quote, feedback, unquote, session, which it is not. The other kind of historical way to give some event-based guidance or whatever is to make an overall praiseful statement followed by pointing out usually one specific negative, something along the lines of, hey, great job today, but you need to work on the analogies, too many.
Excellent. Thanks, boss.
Yeah, this is just a dull-witted version of the sandwich technique. Good comment, bad comment, good comment, because you're too frail a flower to actually have me tell you when you use that many analogies, it distracts from your message and people begin to think you don't have data and you're just trying to smooth things over with analogies. it's ineffective. I suppose it's better than nothing, but let's not make the good the enemy of nothing. Let's not make nothing the enemy of the good in this case. Gee whiz. Look, managers balk at the idea of specific feedback. They're afraid it's too much for the direct. But the reason is the manager doesn't really want to give feedback because it's uncomfortable. I'm afraid he's going to get his feelings hurt and quit. And then they blame it on the direct's inability to handle it. But it's just, and this is sad. It's true. It's just wrongheaded. And the big problem is directs don't like this kind of feedback, and managers don't get directs responding well to it because it's not feedback. It's non-feedback. It's not helpful. When something isn't helpful, when it's confusing, it stinks to be on the receiving end of that. And add to that, the direct knows his boss will feel he's already talked to the direct about the opportunity to improve. So the boss is going to expect improvement, all while the direct not knowing what it is he or she is supposed to do to improve. It's really frustrating.
Well, that's what drives the direct crazy, right? They know, yes, their boss didn't like something, but they have no idea what they're supposed to flip and do to correct it. And so in the case where it was a presentation, right, the next presentation, they know they're supposed to have gotten better, but the whole time they're thinking like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and I'm probably going to get my butt chewed again.
Yeah. So the key to this is staying specific when you give behavioral feedback. Directs can handle lots of it much better because it tells them what they did and it makes clear the result, the outcome of what they did. It's not an opinion of the manager. It's not a general feeling or a hint at what I thought you were trying to do. But if you as a manager focus on the five behaviors, the words you say, how you say them, facial expressions, body language, and work product, it reduces the chances for misunderstanding and directs can listen to a lot of it all at once. So managers, if you think you weren't supposed to give event-based feedback because directs couldn't handle it, you're wrong. Because every single one of you that I've ever talked to said, well, I can't do that with my directs, but I'd love to hear it from my boss. Whenever you find yourself engaging and when you start saying that you're a lot different from your directs, you're probably wrong. It's just not so.
Cool. Now, ask first and only once. When we give feedback, we always ask. And in this case, we're talking about asking about giving feedback for a particular event. And when they agree to that, they're essentially agreeing to getting a bunch of feedback about that particular event.
To me, having tried this, I mean, folks, just so you know, I've tried actually giving specific four-step feedback on 20 different things all at once. And me and my direct just laughed. We just couldn't do it. I mean, he knew that I was following the feedback model and it just doesn't work. But I also knew he needed the feedback. And so over the course of a couple of years, I discovered and asked some managers to help me and discovered absolutely works like a charm. People love it. You know, if your boss came in and said, hey, let me give you some guidance. Give me some insight on what I saw in your behavior yesterday in the meeting. Most directs would be like, yeah, sure. Right. Now, there are managers in the world who they wouldn't say, yeah, sure, too. But that's not a function of the feedback model. That's a function of the manager.
It's interesting you say that you've tried it asking and asking and asking and asking. And you guys just start laughing about it. I always thought that was actually your approach. That's why we asked. You want to give them 15 pieces of feedback. We asked 15 times just because it's so darn funny. And when you're smiling and laughing, it's a lot easier for the director to get the feedback. I figured that was just part of the plan.
I never. Our directs are going to laugh at us anyway, I guess. So, you know, let's not give them more to laugh at.
Okay.
So look, when it comes to event-based feedback, normally what you would do is for every behavior you're going to talk about, you ask, can we talk about that? And then the direct says yes, and then you deliver. But with event-based feedback, you ask only once. You say, hey, can I give some feedback on your presentation? Can we talk about your performance in the meeting? Can I share some things from the offsite? Can I make some comments about this report? And folks, in a report can actually be an event because it fits our criteria. Even if it took them 2 weeks to produce the report itself exists in time right now. And so you can give feedback about the report itself. Because report is work product. It doesn't have to be the words they said or how they said them, their facial expression or their body language. The report is actually work product. And because it exists right now, it is a contiguous short-term event, if you want to use that. And so you only ask once. So if I'm going to give feedback to Mike about a meeting, I say, hey, can I give some feedback about the meeting? And then he knows when I give that caveat, when I mention the meeting, I don't just say, can I give you some feedback? I say, I ask first and only once, but I make sure I give the context that we're going to talk about. Can I give some feedback about the meeting? Can I give some feedback about the presentation? Can I give some feedback about this thing you've been working on me for the working with me on for the last week? Okay. Now they know I might very well go through a series of behaviors and their associated outcomes, both good and bad.
And that, in fact, is the next step, right? Just a series of steps.
Yeah.
2, 3, and 4. 2 and 3 being what they did, what the behavior was, and step 3 being describing the outcome of that, what's the result of that particular behavior. And then step 4 is, if it's positive, just say thanks, keep it right up, whatever. And if it's negative, ask them if they can change it.
Yeah, I think we've made a lot of points today that I'm sure those of you who have been listening to Managed Tools for years and years and years are like, yeah, I know that about feedback. I know that about feedback. But of course, remember, folks, we have new people joining us every week, every month. But rather than going through all 4 steps in detail, I'll just tell you quickly, there are 4 steps. First, you say, can I give you some feedback? The next thing is you describe their behavior when you do X. And then step 3, you describe the outcome of their behavior. Here's what happens when you're late to a meeting is step 2. And here's what happens. I worry about you is step 3. And then step 4 is when it's negative feedback, we ask them to change their behavior. Can you do that differently? And if it's positive feedback, hey, can I give you some feedback? When you start the meeting on time, it saves me time during my busy day. And step 4 is thank you. So we just say thank you. So let me give an example of putting all this stuff together. It's pretty easy. For those of you who know the feedback model, it's really pretty easy, but hopefully we've beaten this horse well. So I would say to Mike, hey, can I give some feedback about the meeting?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And I say, hey, when you started on time, it sent the right message about efficiency. Well done. When you answered a question about the deck during your introduction, though, I think it threw you off your game a little bit and it took too much time. Can you avoid doing that next time? When you didn't say anything when Bob was talking after his time was up, that hurt your credibility. I think people sort of lost interest because they're getting off the agenda. Can you do better at that? Later, though, when you did cut Bob off on the second time, that was awesome. Thanks. I think that got everybody right back where you wanted them to be. And toward the end, when you asked for input, when you needed ideas because you felt like you'd hit a brick wall, they loved that and they were more than willing to help out. So do that more in the future. Well done.
Awesome.
So how many behaviors is that? I didn't even count them.
It was like 4 or 5.
Answered a question. Didn't say anything. Yeah, it was 5. 5 things. It took maybe a minute. Right? Only 1 question, but the question said was about the meeting. Can I give you some feedback about the meeting? So you knew there are multiple behaviors. And obviously, I'm hoping that in each one, I went pretty fast. I wasn't listening for Mike's responses, but normally you'd wait when you got negative feedback. Hey, can you do better at that? You want the director to say yes, because that's important for systemic feedback. But that's all. You can give feedback. You can be event-based. You can wait a little bit, you know, a day or two or even a week. And you can lump it all together. God, I'm afraid somebody's going to take that out of context. And you can only ask once as long as they understand the context in which you're asking. It's okay as long as there's a connection to the behaviors. Try to keep it within a week. Stay specific. That's the key. Stay specific. Focus on behavior. If you start getting into what you thought or how you felt as a manager, you'll start losing the direct. And then you'll start saying what every other manager does, which is directs don't like being unloaded with a lot of feedback all at once. That's not true. Directs don't like being told a lot of things they don't know how to do anything about, but they love getting specific actionable feedback. And then ask first, but only 1 time. And then it steps 2, 3, and 4 over and over and over again. If you do this... I joke with a manager once when I told him this, you could fulfill your monthly feedback quota in 1 meeting. that's not the intent of this. When we ask that question, even just 1 time, and the direct knows is about context, they're open to hearing multiple behaviors. And each piece of feedback that they get will make more sense in context with all the others. And the simple bottom line on this one is, it's what you would want from your boss. Tell me everything you can, boss, so that I can do things right again if I did it right and stop doing the stuff that doesn't work. That's what you'd want from your boss, and that's a good general rule that you ought to be doing it for your directs as well.
Good. All right, my friend. Enjoyed it.
Thanks, partner.
All right. We'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you on the discussion forums, www.manager-tools.com. See you there. So long, folks.